Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Because it's Tuesday, well, we got Chris Harrington every day straight up at 10 o'clock. And on Tuesdays, we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. So we'll talk to our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. We'll do that in the second hour. Second hour will be taken care of with two terrific guests. The first hour, it is us. So, Jeffrey, I'll begin with this. Was that, you know, when we talked about Houston and Duke, was it more collapse or was it more triumph, right, in the part of Duke and Houston? Let's now flip it around on Houston. Houston obviously loses to Florida. Florida wins the national championship 65-63 last night. Was that more triumph by Florida or more collapse by Houston?
I thought it was more Houston running out of gas, but at the end, like, they had four straight possessions that ended in a turnover.
It is interesting. First of all, how would you characterize the game? Was it a great game?
It was an intense game.
It was a fiercely competitive game.
It was very obvious both coaches in their first little, you know, sideline interview that they do in the first half, like Kelvin's like nerves, Golden gets up, nerves.
No one could make a shot.
Correct. And they were making uncharacteristic mistakes. I think the way is, like, Houston got the game to their liking. That's never going to be a work of art.
Right.
Florida took a while, but settled in and was able to beat them at their own game. And I did think in the second half, it turned into a good game.
Yeah. I mean, it was, listen, anytime a game is that close, even if it isn't artfully played, it's going to be absorbing, right? It was a really compelling watch just because of how close it was. So I think that's true. Great game? I wouldn't say it was a great game, because that is the distinction. When you have a truly great game is when you have fabulous play on both sides and one and then the next and then the one and then the next.
The one I always think about is Carolina Villanova.
Yeah, we got some of that down the stretch. I do think, unlike the Duke game, I think, like, it is interesting. Take the last two possessions, right? It is interesting. You can be a genius coach one day. You know, yesterday we were talking about how Kelvin Sampson, you know, won the coaching duel against Duke, right?
Sure.
Like, that's what happens. You got a genius coach and he just won the coaching. Yeah, better coach, better. They are able to execute down the stretch. Duke couldn't. Well, then here you have the same genius coach, literally the same dude, and you can't even get a shot off. You can't even get a shot off. And these two last possessions, but here's the thing. I thought they were terrific defensive possessions by Florida. It wasn't just
particularly the last one.
The last one was unbelievable. Let's just take, but even the second to last one, the second to last one got his hand in, you know, I'm like, how do you, I didn't see what happened until they slowed it down. And then you're like, well, that was totally that turnover was forced because he got his hand in, knocked it off his knee. And like, that was a really good defensive play. And on the last one, like, they just didn't give him anything. It was obviously supposed to go originally to LJ Cryer. He couldn't get off a shot. They totally smothered him. So then you go to Emmanuel Sharpe, who comes off the screen, and Clayton just won't, like,
refuse to be denied.
Like, there's a guy who's made his bones in the tournament, lighting it up offensively, and he would not let him get a shot off. It was, I thought, yeah, I mean, Kelvin Sampson said later, it's inconceivable that we couldn't get a shot off. Like, we didn't even get a shot off. But honestly, I kind of credit Florida for them not getting a shot off. It was unbelievably fabulous defense.
I think, to me, there's also a difference between not being able to get a shot off and not being able to get the ball in bounds.
Yeah, that's definitely true, too. Yes. Yes, that is true, too. So, like, I thought it was magnificent defense down the stretch by Florida. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that went on in that game, including the fact that the first half and the second half were called completely differently.
Yeah, I actually thought that was, actually dictated by Florida. I thought they came out in the second half, and it seemed to me like there was an emphasis of, we've got to be more physical. We've got to be more physical.
That's true, but the first half they didn't call. The first half they called four fouls, and Houston.
I think, I believe this to be true. When it got 5-0 in fouls in like the first 30 seconds, I think that's when officials start, like, they start looking up and being like, oh God, we got to even this up.
Right.
Yeah. And it definitely changed the way the game was called.
The first half, Houston could absolutely mug them. And then, I mean, it was something. And then the second half, oh my God, we couldn't go through, you know, 15 seconds without a foul. It was, I thought it was called completely differently. Obviously Houston, they did everything they could possibly do. They held Clayton to 11 points, you know, between Martin and Clayton, 5 of 20 from the field, 2 of 3 from 13. Like, they, if you are Houston, it's just crushing because you played your game perfectly. You just didn't do what you have done all along, all season, execute at the end.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, I think if he would have said, Kelvin, you're going to hold him to 65 points, I think he would have felt pretty good.
Yeah, Clayton's going to get 11.
Yeah.
You're going to hold them to 65.
I think if you would have just shown him the Florida stat sheet, I think he would have felt pretty good.
They only gave up 8 offensive rebounds. Like, that's Florida. Florida is, what are they? They're, like, big, they get offensive rebounds, Clayton lights it up, like, they... And Florida still won. I also think it is a measure of how damn good that Florida team is.
I mean, to me, that's kind of the story of Florida this year, is the amount of ways that they can win games.
Right.
Like, they can win that absolute rock fight. Then they can get into the up and down game in the hundreds. They can
and
win
if,
that.
If Clayton's not doing it, there's Will Richard doing it. You know, like, he kept them in it in the first half.
I totally agree. I think in the end, the team with the best roster won.
I agree. And in the second half, like, I was rooting for Houston.
Yeah,
like,
I think if you had no rooting interest, I think
yeah,
you found
you're rooting
yourself,
for Houston. Yeah. So, but I explained to Claire that nothing that I want to happen in sports ever happens mm-hmm. in sports. So prepare yourself for Houston to lose this game. But it also, in addition to that very heavy fact working against Houston, it just felt like, in the second half, it just felt like Florida was the better team.
It felt like Florida was the better team, and I also think part of the reason why they went for three, I think Houston knew they were out of gas.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Like, they were, you could just sense it. Like, they didn't have the same energy, everything. I think they were just out of gas. They were trying to end the game.
So, after the game, Emmanuel Sharpe sort of emerges as the GOAT, right? Because... But I don't know he obviously didn't play great and literally turned the ball over the last, you know, the last two possessions ended with the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
Right. So he supposedly apologized to the team afterward. Well, of course, they like he didn't lose it because of and they didn't. You know, it wasn't just him. And let's be honest, they drew up a play for Cryer, not for like he was not the first option on that last play.
What I couldn't figure out though was because the way that Sharp came off of that back screen, I was almost wondering was the idea to try and get everybody to flow to Cryer who went like to the right hash mark,
right,
and then have Sharp be wide open, kind of coming from the backside, wide open for the three.
The piece that I read said that the first option was for Cryer.
And it would make sense of, hey, let's let Cryer get the first crack.
See if he gets a look, and if not, we'll have him come off the back screen. And that. So it's it was. How would you characterize this NCAA tournament?
The Final Four made up for everything else, because I thought the Final Four.
It's funny though, watching one shining moment.
Yeah.
It did remind me that there weren't many shining moments. Like there wasn't the breakthrough. Like, you know, it wasn't. Oh yeah, there was. You know.
No, I think what one shining moment reminded you of was the tournament itself was pretty forgettable.
Yeah,
but we had a great Final Four.
And we had a great Final Four. It was a really entertaining Final Four.
Like how many games? Like, because honestly, I keep going back to this. Just reminded me so much of the. Ironically, the 07 Final Four that Florida wins, where, okay, yeah, it wasn't 4-1 seeds, but it was 2-2s and 2-1s, and I believe.
By the way, very similar team. Young coach,
yep.
Bigs, you know, like there's some similarities between those two teams. To look at this, obviously, from the Houston perspective, total heartbreak. You know, they lose in crushing fashion once upon a time to NC State. I mean, that's the story I'm sure they're telling themselves now in Houston. And they lose in crushing fashion again. That would have been Kelvin Sampson's. It is really cruel. It would have been his 300th win at Houston and his 800th career win. Now they're going to have some meaningless game be his 300th win at Houston.
So, whatever. Was it Sasquatch State? What was the school that he goes, you're not playing?
Yeah, right.
You're like
exactly.
Sasquatch State or something
and,
like that.
It's going to be, they're going to win over that. And so just crushing, he's 69 years old, would have been the oldest to ever win a national title. And the odds are he won't, right? If he hasn't yet. There, by the way, I'll get to this in a minute, because if you look at the way too early top 25, Houston's good again. So, but whatever. He's had lots of chances now, you know, and it's hard to win a damn national championship.
It is. The only thing I'm willing to concede is that he's getting closer.
He is getting closer. He's had lots of runs at it. 2023 and 24, both years they lose in the Sweet 16 as a one seed.
Yep.
Injuries, whatever. But he's getting closer. That's true. He's getting closer. Like he'll have more bites at the apple. But you would argue that if he had another 20 years to coach, you'd say he will ultimately win a national championship.
You obviously aren't thinking that. But, like, I do, I think if things are going to go the way that it is, which is, you know, everybody largely putting together a team on the fly, having the kind of the tough physical team that makes you have to
works
earn
for
it.
Your advantage.
Correct.
I can see that. So for Florida, there was an interesting piece, Rexroad wrote it actually, about Florida, and obviously great day for the university. There's a program, he comes in, gets better every year, and you know, he looks like an up and coming star. Told Todd Golden, 39 years old, he's the youngest to win a title since Valvano, honestly.
Which
was 37. Bobby Knight won
against
at 35.
Who?
What?
Who did Valvano win against?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Bobby Knight won at 35. Other than that, anyone who won it young was like eons ago. No name you've ever heard of. So those are the three youngest to do it. But it's a fascinating because normally when you are you win your national championship, you're as dynamic, you know, sharp, good-looking as Todd Golden is, we're going to hear all sorts of stories about your family and your wife, you know, all these personal stories about the coach, right? The coaches are the stars now.
Yep.
But because of this Title IX stuff this year, there's just this weird uneasiness about it all, right? To be clear, again, he was charged with...
Accused.
Yeah, I'm accused. Yeah, the charge loosely. He wasn't charged by the police. He was accused in stories that first came out in the Daily Alligator of harassment, sending lewd pictures to undergrads and showing up places where they were in whatever, in his car, they'd be right. walking along, whatever. And was the what the university said is there was no evidence to indicate that sexual harassment as defined by Title IX occurred within a university program or activity. That was the, so when they, when people say he was quote unquote cleared, he was cleared, but in the sense that no sexual harassment as defined by Title IX occurred within a university program or activity. Could have been sexual harassment, not as defined by Title IX, or more specifically, could have not been within a university program or activity.
Right.
In other words, if you're just sending your photos to some random undergrad, that's not within a program or activity.
Right.
And so therefore, so it didn't clear him in any, didn't say
fully
this
exonerated.
Didn't happen. Did not say this didn't happen. It just cleared him in that sense. And that's created this weird silence around it, right? Like it's, you know, and I gather the AD was asked about it last night, you know. Obviously a terrific season and a terrific coach, and the odds are, by contrast, he will win more national championships. He will likely become a guy who wins multiple national championships.
Oh, I think that's right? more than fair.
100%.
I think we've realized, oh yeah, the Florida basketball job is a pretty good one.
Well, so that's what I was going to get to. They were talking on Unsportsmanlike about, is Florida a football school or a basketball school? And let's be clear. Florida is a football school.
Yes. They would rather win a national championship in football than
basketball. Not even close. They'd rather win a national championship in football than 10 national championships in basketball. Right? Is there any SEC school that is not a football school?
Kentucky.
It's a basketball school.
Yep. And
that's
I would
it.
Actually
I agree with
I would
that.
I would
Is there another?
I would argue
Vandy?
Vandy probably, but
it's mostly just because they can be good at
right,
basketball
exactly.
and can't be good at football. Would they prefer it if they were a monster in football? They would.
The one that I think is the next closest is Arkansas.
Ooh.
Because
yeah.
Arkansas does have a good basketball tradition. It's not fake. They don't care about it just because they win in it. They love Arkansas basketball. The problem, though, with Arkansas is I still think if you said, here's a basketball national title, here's a football national title, they're taking the football one.
They clearly are. But Kentucky's not?
I think Kentucky cares way more.
Yeah, well, they care way more about basketball. Yeah, they care way more about basketball. They might just because it'd be great to be that great
right.
in football as well as basketball. So we'll take this year. Sure, if in 2025 or 26 or whatever it is, we'll take one national title in football. They might do that just for a change. But yes, it's a basketball school. Here's my other question, though, of course, is that all these places, the money is so big in the SEC now that they're everything schools. Like, if they're, are they basketball school or football school conversation generally means which do you care more about,
yeah.
right? Which do you more important to you
which affects your mood more?
As a university community, right? If you're talking about what are you good at, well, now these schools are all good at everything.
I would argue, though, the one that I take notes. I don't know how much you're paying attention. Have you seen Florida baseball? They
no.
suck.
Sucks. Well, so then I was going to ask you, who has the, if you are a, your basic sports fan, basic SEC sports okay. fan, who has the best athletic program?
I think you have to say Tennessee right now. Tennessee's going to, they're the defending national champion in football, or in baseball. They have made consecutive Elite Eights.
You do, but here's the truth.
And though. They made the playoff.
Here, that's all. I agree with that. Like, but in the end, let's take Alabama during Saban years.
Okay,
they could suck at everything else, and they would have the best athletic program because that's what matters the most. In other words, who makes you happiest as a fan? if you're a student going there or an alum, I'm not talking about how's your baseball program, like, are you good across the board? I'm talking about in the things that you care most about. I think during the Saban years, Alabama could have had the worst baseball program and the worst basketball program, and they still would have been the program that created most happiness for their fans.
I think that's true. I think the one curveball in today's environment is people are now recognizing you can make money doing the other things. Well, I don't know. Baseball, I would still argue baseball is a vanity project. You're only good at it if you want to be good at it.
Well, that in the end, I do think, to me, it's not about what the institutional money thing is. It's the people care. And I think Tennessee people do care about baseball.
Yeah.
Now, it's an interesting question, though, because is it a vanity project? Like, Tennessee people used to care about women's basketball. They still do care about women's basketball. But they cared about it because they won at it.
Yeah.
That's
why they care about baseball.
They don't really. So I don't think if you could just choose, you're just trying to create maximum happiness for your embryo that's just born on this world, right? Wouldn't you pick being a Georgia fan over a Tennessee fan right now, or being a Texas fan over a Tennessee fan right now?
Well, I mean, are we trying to make well-rounded embryo?
I'm just trying to say what matters, what actually does matter to fans the most.
I do think football is clearly the most intense. I'm with you. But if I could offer you 365 days of winning and you have something to watch all year round.
Would you rather right now be a Tennessee fan than a Texas fan or a Georgia fan or an Alabama fan? I wouldn't. I'm not going to the damn Final Four. Haven't ever in basketball.
Yeah.
I feel like there's kind of a ceiling on football. Maybe it's, you know, there's a little bit of, like, you're there, but you're not there. It's like what Santi said, about nearly beating Golden State. Oh, we're right there, but right there is not there. And so what the only
Texas.
Place where you can really hang your hat in with Tennessee, really, is baseball, which clearly people don't care about as much as the other two.
I think you just have to say Texas because they're going to be good in football. The only reason they weren't good in basketball this year is because they probably shouldn't have hired the coach in the first place.
Right.
And they're still probably going to be good in baseball. They're good in everything because guess what?
It's Texas.
Yeah. Well, turns out you can
it's just
buy
money.
You can
it's
buy
money
wealth.
And Texas. And so you wouldn't pick Alabama because you feel like you're going to be looking back at the good old days under Saban.
Yeah. And if you want to make the case for Georgia,
how about Georgia?
Fine, so be it. I don't know. I always worry that when Kirby got his second title, that was just grounds for, all right, boys, we're going to do ground and pound. And it's like, you kind of won by opening up the offense. Can we go back to that? Like, this is really boring.
Is that what you think is happening at Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
They only go fast on the highway?
Yeah. And no, what, back streets.
I'm sorry. Yeah. On side streets? Anyway, it was a... It was interesting. And, of course, the problem is that not the problem. I mean, a triumphant year for the SEC finishes off with a championship. And
you got two Final Four teams and you won the title.
Yeah. What more could you want? And this isn't ending anytime soon. You're just going to always be richer than everybody else. And yesterday was a very long and uncertain day in the House settlement front. Like,
yeah.
This stuff is going on. Like, and the judge sort of at the end of the day started asking questions. Can we separate this case from this case and whatever else? Are we really going to bind student athletes for the next 10 years? Student athletes who are, you know, whatever, they're in kindergarten now. Are we going to come up with a settlement that's good? Whatever. So lots of questions were being asked. But in the end, we know that SEC teams are going to, they just spend more. They have more, they spend more. And so I don't know we'll see another year like this in terms of...
A lot of things had to go right. I mean, you can have a really good year out of conference.
Right.
If you win 70% of your games. But they won 90% of the games. Like, are you really telling me that's going to happen every single year? And maybe I'm wrong. But I felt like they had a situation in which they were good and they also delivered and it just tipped the scales so strongly that they were given the opportunities.
All right, Grizzlies play tonight, and I've got this way too early top 25 for next season in hoops that I want to talk about. We'll do both of those things when we return. We've got to take a break. It's Tuesday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you are getting something framed, I have the place for you. 50 years of doing it. Expert custom framing at the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, right over here in East Memphis. I keep getting unsolicited. People will send me, I went to the Frame Corner on your recommendation, and they did a beautiful job. And that's what we like to hear, because you take things to the Frame Corner that you care deeply about, honestly. That's why you have them custom framed. And so for people to be that thrilled with the results doesn't surprise me at all. It's why they've been in business for 50 years. So whether you've got a jersey that you want framed, or a collection of wedding photos or graduation photo, whatever it is, head on into the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. All right, Jeffrey, I'm going to get to the Grizzlies here in a moment. But before then, I did want to call your attention to the Athletic's way too early top 25. And you know what's striking about it? Well, here's so Purdue is one, Florida is two, Houston is three, Louisville is four, and Michigan is five. Okay. What's striking about it, honestly, because I started looking at this way too early, and way too early is now it's really way too early. Like, I'm like, how can you do this? How can you possibly do this when there's the transfer portal and stuff? It
sure.
Always used to be a little silly, but now it seems crazy, right? Except they have projected starters for all these teams. Like, they know their projected starters. Now, some of them are obviously, in the case of Michigan, they got, three big-time transfers among their projected starters, right? But they know they're starting five.
Yeah. And you don't know it for the other ones.
And you go straight down to, I hate to say this, what I'm contrasting it to is the University of Memphis. Give me the projected starters for the University of Memphis. We got no freaking clue.
I'm hopeful, PJ Haggerty.
I mean, it is funny. It makes such a huge difference, right? Because you would say, if you could say PJ Haggerty, Dante Harris, and then Barry, the new guy that they just got from Temple.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, well, there's a backcourt, you know?
Yeah.
But like, whatever. We know that Dane Danger is supposedly asking for a waiver. Well, that if you could put in PJ Haggerty and Dane Danger, I'll put him in the top 20. I'll put him at the tail end of my top 25 right now. But
we don't know that.
We don't know with either of them. Like, I'm skeptical that Danger is going to get a waiver, but what do I know? And PJ Haggerty, I talked Jason and John talking about what a big number he's asked for. And then beyond that, it's Danielle Vieira Tuck and Felipe Patino.
Yes, of course.
And there's a guy named Kebe.
Yes. No. Buna Kibi.
Kibi.
Yes.
Buna Kibi.
Correct.
So that's what struck me. It's just like, oh, hell, you actually can have a projected top 20. You can have carryovers. You can have, like, you know. Now, in some, Tennessee's actually in this way too early top 25. Arkansas is at 23, by the way. Tennessee's at 25. And there, they just say, now all the attention turns to the 2 and 3 spots, considering Rick Barnes has had Dalton Knecht and Chaz Lanier back-to-back. I'd imagine there's a really good wing out there who will be persuaded to come to be the next one, right? So there, if you're filling in a slot and you have a history of finding players for that slot, I guess they're willing to do it. But you couldn't possibly have Memphis in your top 25, way too early top 25, because you got no idea who the hell's playing for Memphis.
No.
And I'm not even, I don't know. You also don't have a single, there's no school outside the Power Five in that top 25, way too early top 25, because they end up having to pick up the scraps, right?
Well, not only that, like, especially with in this year where everyone was scrambling to get deals done so that they wouldn't be subject to the review, everyone was trying to load up early. And like, to me, like, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, you see, Memphis doesn't have the buying power that the other schools do.
Or they would have more players
correct
on board already.
I mean, they had a Georgia Tech transfer in this weekend. Goes to Georgetown.
Okay. So there we go. That's just a bit of a, I think it's a, I think people are feeling pretty good about the basketball program after this pretty damn good year. And again, Penny has always put together a roster. He's always had a roster. Certainly always had a roster good enough to compete and win in the AAC, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess I'll just,
I mean, like, you have to look at it. The way that Munns framed it is, if they bring Haggerty back, they're probably going to be one of three schools that's going to retain or acquire an All-American. That is a massive.
No. It's very clear. The Haggerty thing is a massive. I mean, he's so massive because if he leaves, the alternative, like, what are we building around there?
Your guess is as good as mine. There's 1,900 guys to train or 1,900 guys to choose from, I guess.
All right. So Grizzlies play Charlotte tonight. Ja is not on the injury report or the illness report, so that's good, right?
Food poisoning passes through.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So no games of a real
note last night. Yeah.
What?
No games of note last night.
No games of note last night. But tonight we have a bunch of games of note. I don't think they're, like, how promising are they? The good news is that the Grizzlies have the easiest of the opponents. Is it fair to say? Grizzlies have the easiest of the opponents. The T-Wolves have the Bucks.
Yep.
Grizzlies are tied with the T-Wolves. The T-Wolves have the Bucks. If you still think there's any chance of tracking down the Lakers got the Thunder.
Yeah, I'm not even concerned by that. I'm concerned by...
Okay, and then the Warriors have the Suns.
Is Durant back?
No idea. You can check. And the Clippers have the Spurs.
All right, I'm trying to see probable for Tuesday.
And here's the problem is that obviously the one that's most likely to lose there is the T-Wolves and the Bucks, right? Although I don't know the state. I mean, it's so much this depends on the health of everybody, right?
So I'm seeing the note. The team stated on March 31st that Durant was expected to miss at least 1 week of action due to the left ankle sprain, and there haven't been many updates since. His next chance to return to the court will be Wednesday against the Thunder, so they're not even saying tonight.
Oh, Wednesday against the Thunder. So, yeah forget that. It just feels like the team that could be knocked off tonight, it feels like could be the T-Wolves, but they're the team that, in the end, you can decide it yourself.
Correct.
Like, in the end,
you're going to have a home game on Thursday night.
Yeah, if you beat them Thursday, you then have essentially a two-game advantage on them because you've beaten them and you have the tiebreaker. So, and if you lose to them, you probably, you know, whatever. It's just, I'm not watching the T-Wolves as much because I can take care of that myself.
Yeah.
The problem is you need the Clippers, you need to lose one fewer game down the stretch than the Clippers or the Warriors, in addition to the T-Wolves. If you're trying to get out of the play-in, you've got to pass one of those two teams as well.
And I mean, on paper, you can technically do it. If you went out,
But here's what I was going to say is, you have to do one game better than those two teams.
Yep.
Than either of those two teams. If you are stipulating that they're going to lose to Denver Friday, and again, it's a late tip Thursday.
Yep.
And so you're going to get into Denver at 4 a.m. You've got to beat Jokic and Denver in altitude Friday.
Yep.
Seems wildly unlikely.
In a place that you've historically not had any success.
So that means you really need these teams, either the Clippers or the Warriors, to lose twice.
Yeah. Now, basically, you need one of them to lose one additional game. Because they're going to play, someone's going to lose at the end
of
the season.
That's true.
So you need one of them to lose one additional game.
You need one of them to lose one additional game. Let's look up their schedules real quick. Let's look up let's see what we got for the Clippers schedule and the Warriors schedule. Because I'm not worried about the T-Wolves. You can take care of the T-Wolves yourselves. What I am worried about is passing one of those.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Golden State, as you mentioned tonight, Phoenix, that's on the road in Phoenix. They have a back-to-back. Tomorrow, they host the Spurs. Then on the 11th, so.
And they got the Warriors, and then they got the Clippers. I mean, they got Portland, and then they got the Clippers.
So Friday night, right, they would go to Portland, and then
they're just not going to lose two games. I hate to say it.
I mean, honestly, the game that I'm like, maybe, is at Portland. Portland's playing pretty well. Like, Portland's playing better than
their
record.
All right, so fine. So at Phoenix without Durant, San Antonio, they're going to win both of those games. Then there's, you can imagine the Warriors losing at Portland and to the Clippers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
if you're Memphis and you win tonight, beat Minnesota, beat Dallas the last game, yep, you can still drop that game to Denver, and yep, you'd be fine if the Warriors, you would pass the Warriors if the Warriors do that.
Correct.
Right? In terms of the Clippers, you tell me where we're getting our two losses for the Clippers. I can see it. You got the Spurs
tonight.
Then you've got Houston.
Yep.
Now, does Houston care anymore?
I mean, the Lakers still can technically catch them for second.
Okay, so I actually can pretty easily see them losing. They could lose to Houston, and they could lose at Golden State. That seems more likely than Golden State losing at Portland and then at home to the Clippers.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't rule out Sacramento getting hot for a night at home against the Clippers.
Clippers, at Sacramento. Yeah, you're right. Clippers have I think the Clippers, the two teams that you're trying to pass, I mean, you're trying to pass all of them.
Right. I'm not trying to get them to lose every game. I just need them to lose one more.
Yeah. You got to be ahead of two of these teams.
Yeah.
You got to push two of these teams into the play-in. It seems most likely to be the Timberwolves, because you've got the ability to do that, and the Clippers.
Yeah.
It does not even seem far-fetched to me.
No, I mean,
the far-fetched part, honestly, is
the Grizzlies.
Is the Grizzlies winning three out of the next four.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying four out of four. I'm not saying sweep. if they sweep, I don't think they'll have any problem. I think, you know, whatever. That would be, you know, but I'm only asking the Grizzlies to do is win 3 out of 4, and then I don't think it is entirely far-fetched.
No, I'm not as depressed as I was last week.
Which also helps. You know what improves the mood? Winning.
Yeah. Well, and job playing. And
they've
playing
got
well.
Some wins now under their belts. Do you believe that Ja is going to holster the old?
I hope so.
Firearm.
I hope so. And again, we've delegated this.
Yeah, yeah. We blame the NBA more than Ja, but in the end, the NBA is doing what the NBA is doing.
Right.
And so how are you going to react? You can't do it tonight.
You are more important to the team than making a statement.
It's just true. If this were game, and again, every game matters, but if whatever, if this is game 23, whatever, you know, and you're in the midst and you want to pitch a fit and grieve it with the NBA. And
time is of the essence.
It just can't do it, man. But do you think he will?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
But, I mean, do I feel 1,000% confident? No.
All right. And then finally, again, we'll talk about Chris, all this stuff with Chris Harrington in a moment. Where are you on the likelihood that Isolo will be the head coach going forward?
60-40? It does feel like that would be the preference. And he's done nothing at this point to suggest that he shouldn't. Like, if it's rigged, or if it's set up for him to have the gig, he has done nothing to, I think, say that I shouldn't get this.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you could argue what's his record? 2-3?
Whatever, yeah.
Right, at this point, and he's not exactly killing it.
Right.
But I also don't think anyone holds him fully responsible for that. They played tough teams.
Yeah.
Missing Brandon Clark, whatever else. So, so I don't think the W's and L's are whatever. It is amazing to me. I think so much of this comes down to Ja. It comes down to the future of those three. I don't think Desmond Bane is, you know, but Jaren has to extend his deal,
yep.
Right? Jaren's deal is running out, and Ja is mercurial, right? He could ask out. We just feel like hell. Everyone around the whole country is saying that, right? So, so I think in the end, if those guys are on board, he'll stay.
Well, I mean, I have to look at it this way. It's like, okay, if Ja's going to be a significant part of it, well, in the games that Ja has played under him.
Well, that's the thing. Ja seems like he's happy.
Correct. And Dez had another great game on Saturday, and yeah, Jaren.
It's interesting, though. Jaren.
Jaren's pretty good.
Yeah, but does the offense that he is. Jaren spoke very highly of him in the locker room, though. Like, very highly of him in the locker room. And I think. You know, for Jaren, I think your "quote unquote" basketball mind matters, you know, a lot, and
yeah.
I think he is really impressed by the way he thinks about basketball. So, I think so far it appears that he's doing what he has to do to win over the players, which I think is the most important thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Well, the three most important players.
Yes. Right. Yes, the three most important players. All right. We got Chris Harrington again at 10 o'clock, and then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. But guess what else we have?
What do we have, Jeff?
We got Mel Kiper 4.0.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do. So we have a new mock draft. 4.0. With the first pick, the Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward. No surprise there, right?
That seems like that's what's happening.
What did I tell you about the second pick? I was sensing
you've been sniffing around, and you think Travis Hunter.
Consensus forming. I said a consensus forming over the Browns taking Travis Hunter, and Mel is nothing if not aware of the consensus. Travis Hunter. All right, now this one is, I really think this one's pivotal.
Yeah.
And it's your team.
Yep.
Who do you want them to take? Let's assume
Travis Hunter.
No. Travis Hunter's gone under this scenario. What do you want them to do at three?
I think I'm good with Abdul Carter. Let me be clear. I'm very stated as on the record. I want all my defensive players to have red flags. But I want character red flags.
You don't want a foot red flag.
I don't want foot
a broken
red,
damn
correct.
Foot red flag.
I don't want the type of injury where people are like, oh no, man. Like that's not like a slam dunk.
That would worry me a little.
With that being said, when Abdul Carter plays football, he's awesome.
Well, then this is your lucky day.
And there's also like, you know, like there's some schools we just kind of trust, like Ohio State receivers, fine, we trust them. Penn State edge rusher, edge rusher, outside linebacker, like I'm kind of good. They seem to have
the
market corner. Yeah.
The Bills took one of them though, who was a total bust.
I don't need to hear that.
What the hell was his name? Anyway, Giants, Abdul Carter. Pats, Will Campbell.
Makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Doesn't he feel like a...
You can just... He talks like Vrabel.
He feels like a Vrabel dude. Yep. Like tough-minded, gritty.
Yeah, my arms are short. Whatever. You go put in the tape. See how many sacks
he
gave up.
Short arms. Who cares? Yeah. What size arm did Vrabel have?
Probably not as long as they needed to be.
Jags, Mason Graham.
Makes sense. Although I'll say, I think Mason has both of his ACLs. Normally Jags draft defensive tackles with torn ACLs.
That's one that a lot of people have him going there. A lot of people have him going there. And then, what do you think of the Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders? That's very popular as well.
I mean, I don't hate it. I think the logic of don't take a running back early was sound, but I do also think it shortened the buffet line. You can still get a great player.
Well, and it's certain that there are certainly examples where it has. Now, Breece Hall didn't work out. I mean, he hasn't elevated the Jets, right?
Like, right.
And Falcons obviously did it. Would they regret it, or would they regret the tight end probably?
Pitts. Yeah, I mean, Bijan's been
good.
Good. I mean,
he hasn't really feel like he's carried him or elevated him. Detroit certainly doesn't regret it.
No. And I mean, like the Giants, like my whole problem with the Giants taking Saquon was they were so bad that Saquon was good.
Right.
He was awesome, and
it's
didn't matter.
The timing
matter.
Of the, where you are in the life Correct. Cycle of the franchise makes a difference. Saquon for the Eagles is exactly what you need. Jets take the offensive lineman from Missouri, Membu. Carolina Panthers take Jalon Walker from Georgia. Saints take Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. Your thoughts?
I mean, right now, that all kind of makes sense. Like, normally, I always wonder with Mel's, like, how much is this to, like, just hashtag get the engagement going?
This board
feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, none of this is like, whoa, can't believe that.
Yeah.
Would you be excited if New Orleans?
I mean, what are your other options?
You got a quarterback now. You have Derek Carr, and then you got Shedeur behind him.
You can talk yourself into that easily.
Okay. Here, I haven't looked ahead in the draft order.
All right.
Do you believe that Mel will have another quarterback going in the first round?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's scroll through here a little bit. Cowboys, Amarian Hampton, the running back from North Carolina. There's a lot of... One reason that we're not as excited about this, there's a lot of sort of no names in this, you know. I'm scrolling. When I get to Pittsburgh takes Darren Harmon from Oregon.
He would look good. Oh, that is a stealer.
The Rams take Jackson Dart. The Rams take Jackson Dart. Obviously, Stafford's back, but they got Sean McVay, a developer of quarterbacks, and...
Well, and the type of offense they run, even though Jackson's always been in the gun, a lot of what the Rams want to do, which is run, play action, like that is what Jackson's very good at.
Cleveland takes Tyler Shuck. Shuck?
Shaw.
Shaw. From Louisville at 33. And then the... Oh!
Oh, God.
Your beloved New York Giants... At 34, Jalen Milroe. Your thoughts?
Can we move into receiver?
you know, they said that about Lamar. That's just
I never said that about Lamar.
You never did?
Never.
But you say it about Jalen Miller?
Yes. Lamar can throw.
So you're not a fan?
No. I do not enjoy his game.
Anyway, that's what we got to look forward to. We got the NBA this last week of the season, and then we got the NFL draft bearing down upon us.
Woo!
Right? So NBA, our college sports, well, we got college baseball still, but basketball and football are done and wrapped up. I did see a story, Jeffrey, about recently about the death of steak fries.
Mm.
Where are you on steak fries?
So my wife hates them with a passion. I don't mind them. Do I think they're the number one version of a French fry? No.
Don't you think that they are the most out of fashion now? Like you've had lots. There's shoestring fries, and there's tater tots, and there's waffle fries.
Give me steak fries over tater tots.
Curly fries, and there's, I love tater tots. And there's all kinds. And then the steak fry, it feels like something out of the 1950s. Right, it's just like a thing. It's too much potato. It's too much potato. It's not crispy enough. And this whole story was about how steak fries have gone away. There is a place, they wrote about this place that only does steak fries, takes pride in their steak fries, and the key, they said, is the sauce. That a steak fry makes a great conveyor of, it's like a spoon, kind of. It's kind of shaped a little bit like a spoon.
Huey's does steak fries.
Huey's has steak fries.
Yeah.
Is that their main fry?
Yeah.
Huey's main fry is a steak fry?
Yeah.
Really? Is that a good quality fry?
I love Huey's.
I was listening to your teammate on Sweet Cheeks.
Alex Box. Yeah. On the Daily Memphian.
He was on the Soundbites podcast and talking about Huey's is celebrating their 55th anniversary coming up. They're throwing a big block party. And Alex was talking about it. And maybe you disapprove. Did you listen to this?
I'm not listening. I've talked to him that he was going to record it when I talked to him.
So he did it. It was excellent. He has become a convert to tater tots. He's become a tater tot guy.
Tater tots are so overrated.
Really?
So overrated.
I love a tater tot. Ugh. All right. I also love Chris Harrington and the segment that he blesses us with. Every single day, straight up at 10 o'clock. So we'll get to Chris next. Before then, I will tell you that if you are selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Josh Hysaw, of course, and his team at Keller Williams Realty. I'd heard of Josh Hysaw, I'll be honest. I'd heard of him because we talked about him. GP used to talk about Josh Hysaw. And I've heard Ron Olson talk about Josh Hysaw. But I never met Josh Hysaw. And only when I met him was like, oh, I get it. I get it now. Just unbelievably creative, aggressive, locked in on selling your house. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract anytime risk-free. And as I've been discussing recently, if you want an instant cash offer for your home, unlike the ones that you'll get, the robocalls or whatever else, he'll come, he'll meet with you, he'll give you an offer for the full price of your home and give you 4 months to move. And that way you don't have to fix it up. That way you don't have to get ready for all these showings and totally wildly inconvenience your life. It's Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.